This is Spoleto Today. Hi, I'm Tut Underwood. Today I'm talking with pianist Connor Hanek. He has earned a doctorate from Juilliard and has played the stages of the world from Carnegie Hall to Tokyo. He's in Charleston to perform two concerts, May 31st and June 2nd, at the College of Charleston. Welcome to the program, Connor.
Hi, thanks so much for having me here.
So you have two performances coming up. In the first, you're playing Charles Ives' Concord Sonata, and in the second, you're playing Hans Ott's The Book of Sounds. I'm interested to know how you selected these particular pieces. I mean, it seems you'd have to consider several factors.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you have to take into a lot of considerations, sort of programmatic ones, sort of environmental ones, what people are sort of, or you sense at least, interested in hearing. The pieces that I want to play most are the ones that I love the most at the time. And hopefully at any given moment, the piece that you're playing is your sort of favorite thing in the universe. And sometimes the timing doesn't work out because you have to program something a year in advance and you're really excited about one particular project. And then all of a sudden a year passes and you can't stand the piece anymore. Haven't run into too many of those, but in the case of the Spoleto program, the Concord Sonata is something that I've been kind of living with the last year. I started playing at the beginning of this year and spent a lot of time learning it over the previous summer. And that piece is just, you know, a bottomless pit of musical content, and you can sort of shift your way through each of the movements and sort of wade in all of its wonderful music for an eternity and not really get to the bottom of it. And the Hans Ott piece is something that has been on my radar for a number of years now. I heard it live once and absolutely fell in love with the piece. It's kind of one of the most unique listening experiences I think I've ever had. The piece is a little bit over an hour and is comprised of 12 different, very, very different movements, each exploring a different aspect of not only piano playing, but the production of sound at the piano. And it turns into this incredible, sort of vast meditative space that's sort of a challenge to listen to, but also a challenge in very different ways than the Ives to perform.
There's a special technique I'd like to talk about in the Ives Sonata that you're playing. That's where the pianist actually uses a piece of board to play clusters of notes at the same time. It's kind of dissonant, but it creates a really interesting sound. Why do you think Ives came up with that?
With so much of Ives, especially his piano music, he is most concerned with sonority and atmosphere. I mean, he was a really brilliant orchestrator, and you can tell in these piano sonatas that he's thinking orchestrally. And I think for this particular moment, he probably had this idea of these huge, dense orchestral clusters that sort of, you know, hover above what's happening in the left hand, this sort of really soulful melody in the thumb of the left hand. And the only way that he could achieve this type of density and luminosity that he was looking for was, you know, to invent something completely new.
Tell me now, what does the piece mean to you personally?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I mean, I think I'll play this piece for, you know, decades, and I'll have a constantly shifting idea of what it means to me and what it means generally. For me right now, I'm so concerned with the immediacy of the virtuosity that the piece is very much a visceral, physical experience for me, especially in the first two movements. It's so fantastic and fanciful and virtuoso, and the musical content shifts so rapidly that it's sort of a pianistic feat for me at this point. The other two movements have become a little bit more, I'm able to relate to them in a slightly more emotional or less physical way. And actually the whole piece sort of starts panning out toward the end and has the most sort of optimistic and beautiful reverence for nature and what nature suggests about kind of our human condition. And for me, I can experience that feeling a little bit more and the beauty of that feeling a little bit more in performance now. But I haven't quite gotten there with the first two movements yet. The sort of pianistic challenges of them and the scope of them are sort of too overwhelming to get too philosophical about in performance.
I understand you've performed at Spoleto before, correct?
Yes, I have. It's one of my favorite things about the year. This is the third summer now that I've been to Spoleto, and every year has been better than the last.
Have you got any memories of the performances of the past, of the audiences or the city that are pleasant to recall?
Well, I can say as a New Yorker, the only place that I enjoy eating more than New York is Charleston. So that is always such a pleasure to experience. And it seems like every time I've been there, there's some new restaurant that's opened up. So that's a blast. But I love the sense of exploration on the part of the audience. I mean, there's so much music and there's so much wild music being programmed and performed daily at the Spoleto Festival that it's such a pleasure to play for people that have open ears, that are interested in hearing something that they haven't heard and really give it a shot. And it's just one of the great festivals in the country and such a privilege to play at.
It's been a pleasure talking with you, Connor. Thanks for taking the time, and I hope you enjoy your time in Charleston. Our guest has been pianist Connor Hanick, who will perform two concerts during Spoleto. Those are May 31st and June 2nd, both at 5 p.m. in the Simon Center Recital Hall at the College of Charleston. For more information, visit spoleto.atvradio.org. For Spoleto Today, I'm Tut Underwood.